After a bloody month-long conflict between Israel and the Palestinian Hamas government in Gaza, a tenuous 72-hour unconditional ceasefire appeared to be holding after both sides agreed to suspend hostilities on August 5th. Thus far, the conflict has claimed the lives of at least 1,800 Palestinians, mostly civilians, including hundreds of women and children, with over 9,500 injured. Israel reports that 64 of their soldiers have been killed, along with two Israeli civilians and a Thai guest worker. The Israeli government claims its military operation has destroyed 3,000 Hamas rockets and blown up 32 tunnels leading from Gaza to Israel. If the lull in the fighting continues, Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas will lead a delegation in Cairo that will include representatives of Hamas and Islamic Jihad to meet with Israeli officials for talks to negotiate the terms of a more permanent truce. Before the ceasefire took hold, an August 3rd Israeli attack on a United Nations-run school, where 3,000 Palestinian civilians were taking shelter, killed 10 people. The UN says that Israel has attacked 7 of its shelters since the start of the 4-week conflict. In response, the U.S. State Department issued a statement saying that the U.S. was appalled by the disgraceful strike. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon characterized the attack as both a moral outrage and a criminal act, and called for those responsible to be held accountable. The U.S. campaign to end the Israeli occupation sponsored a Capitol Hill congressional briefing on the violence in Gaza on August 1st, asking the question, is Israel complying with U.S. and international laws? Your reporter spoke with Josh Rubner, National Advocacy Director with the U.S. campaign to end the Israeli occupation, who discusses his group's effort to hold the U.S. government accountable for its supply of weapons to Israel in the military assault on Gaza, amid widely reported human rights violations and possible war crimes.
Well, it's quite horrific. More than 1,800 Palestinians killed. At least 377 of them had been children. Almost 10,000 people injured. Nearly 10,000 housing units deliberately destroyed by Israel. Israel has attacked 160-plus schools and hospitals. Israel has deliberately knocked out Gaza's only power plant, placing 1.8 million Palestinians without access to electricity, without access to clean water. We're starting to see meningitis outbreaks as a result of the collapse of Palestinian civilian infrastructure. And all of these attacks, these deliberate attacks against civilians, against civilian infrastructure, are war crimes. And they are being supported by the United States, both in terms of the weapons that we provide to Israel to attack Palestinians, and the fact that we provide Israel with diplomatic support for these horrific acts. We're demanding that members of Congress and the Obama administration adhere to U.S. law. The Arms Export Control Act is very clear that foreign countries that receive U.S. weapons can only use them for either internal security or legitimate self-defense. Obviously, what Israel is doing right now is not legitimate self-defense. It's instead war crimes and potential crimes against humanity. So all we're asking our members of Congress to do, I mean, we hear all the time that Israel shouldn't be held to a different standard than other countries. And I agree. Israel should be held to the same standards as other countries according to U.S. law. And that means in the case of the Arms Export Control Act that when a country violates the terms of the law, that they don't get any more weapons. Plain and simple, that's what the law says. So we were up on Capitol Hill on Friday doing a briefing for members of Congress, which was televised on C-SPAN, which provided some expert and personal testimony from people about Israel's misuse of force against Palestinian civilians, and to demand that Congress adhere to the law. And for those of your listeners who are interested, Congress is now on August recess, and we're organizing delegations to meet with members of Congress to bring this issue to their attention.
What has been the response of House members and members of the U.S. Senate that you've contacted?
Well, overall, it hasn't been great. Congress has passed resolutions in the past month defending Israel's war crimes in Gaza, presenting unsubstantiated evidence that Palestinians are being used as human shields, even though the New York Times found absolutely no evidence of this practice the other day. And just on Friday, before Congress left town, They managed to come up with $225 million in additional weapons for Israel. So on the whole, it's been very negative in terms of what Congress and the administration have been doing. There have been a few bright spots. Representative Keith Ellison from Minnesota is leading the charge for not only an immediate ceasefire, but also for the lifting of Israel's illegal blockade of the Gaza Strip, which is a form of collective punishment, which is considered a war crime, according to Article 33 of the Fourth Geneva Conventions.
Do you think as a result of the carnage we've witnessed in Gaza in these past several weeks, that American opinion is changing at all in terms of this blank check written to Israel in any military operation that they want to conduct against the Palestinians?
Oh, absolutely. I think we've seen a number of public opinion polls over the past couple of weeks that have shown that the only majority demographic that supports Israel any longer tends to be old, white, male Republicans. And all other demographics are seeing huge erosions of support for Israel, especially amongst the youth, especially amongst people of color, especially amongst women. So we are seeing huge changes, and I think that these changes in public opinion presage the needed changes that we need to see in the policy level.
That was Josh Rubner, National Advocacy Director with the U.S. Campaign to End the Israeli Occupation. He's author of the book titled Shattered Hopes, The Failure of Obama's Middle East Peace Process. Find more analysis and commentary on the Gaza war and prospects for Middle East peace by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.